Right. Good morning. Good morning. New Life Church. How are we? Are we awake? Are we alive? You know, 4th of July just happened. You're not awake. See, that's why I asked. You're sleeping. You're still asleep. See, I told the Saturday night crew last night, I said, you guys are the smart people. You come in so you can stay up till 2 in the morning blowing stuff up and then just sleep all Sunday, you know? But my name's Chris O, and this is the way I'm looking at it. Since you're here, you sacrifice sleep, so God's going to show up even stronger. That's what we're believing for this service. It's going to be fun. But listen, I'm excited to speak in this series we're in, Encounter, and there's a couple different reasons for that. But the first is, I believe that encounters still happen, and I hope you do too. I hope you understand that this series isn't just about us going back through the Word and looking at things that happened thousands of years ago. I mean, yes, that's part of it, but we're also going through this so that we can remember that you can encounter God right here and right now, and that's exactly what we've been praying happens in this service and every service across the state. I'm also honored because anytime you get to stand in for Pastor Harry Bates and preach for him and get in here in his campus, and he and Sherilyn are incredible pastors. I love them. Can we give it up for Harry and Sherilyn? I think they're on vacation. They're enjoying, but they might be watching right now. We love you. That's for you, Moman. Anyway, okay. It's his name. No one understands. Okay, anyway, but I love you, Moman. Okay, so I'm going to get in trouble. I might get fired for this. It's good. But yeah, my wife, Katarina, and I, we get the honor and privilege of leading our student ministries and hanging out with young adults. So, what's up, young adults? Good to see you. You in force today. I like it. But we get to hang out a lot with them, and it's just such a blast. But I have an amazing wife and an amazing little girl. And you may have seen me up here before. You need to see my better half and my little daughter. So here she is. That's them. Look at this. Look at this family. That's German Fox 1 right there, my bride. She's beautiful. And then little German Fox, Maya Grace. And Maya's not dating until she's 30. We just made that decision, and it's obvious. Look how sweet. I just want to cuddle her. Anyway, okay, she's awesome. That's my family. And so we love serving God. We love being around people. But listen, we have a story that I'm going to share with you a little bit, that we had to encounter God to get to the place that we are now. And we have to continue to encounter God to stay where we are with him. And there's a scripture, it says this in Romans 8:39. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love, because the way that Jesus, our Master, has embraced us. Can everybody look at me for a second? I believe this scripture is saying, because of the way Jesus encounters us, nothing can separate us from God, because that's his one singular mission on earth, is to encounter us right where we're at, but love us way too much to leave us there. And so listen, I don't know what you came in here struggling with. I don't know what was hurting on you, what's going on, or what you need. But can I tell you, I know what God came in here offering. He came in here offering a love that we can't escape from. He came in here offering hope where there is no hope. He came in here offering forgiveness. No matter what you think you've done that can't be forgiven, God's here to tell you, I came to give forgiveness. And so what I want to do is I want to just pray really quick that the presence of God reminds us of that this morning. That no matter where we're at, what we're dealing with, he's here to encounter us and love us. Let's do it real quick. Lord, we love you. God, I pray that the expectations in here this morning would just change. Maybe we just came in with just complacent. We've been up all night or whatever. We came in thinking, I'm just going to go to church and go to lunch. Chili's is going to be delicious. I don't know what we were thinking when we walked in. But God, I pray that right now, right here, we just expect to encounter you. We expect to be changed by you. We expect to be encouraged by you. So we welcome you to do that, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, so my wife and I met when we were 16 years old. It was really awesome. I was asleep in first period class, which most juniors do. I'm just like laying there, and I hear some ruckus and somebody saying, yeah, the new German exchange student's here. And I look over and I see her. There she was. And I remember thinking to myself, she will be mine. Oh, yes. She will be mine, you know? And so it took her about 5-6 months to come around. But finally, I got her to go on a date with me. And so we go on a date, and our second date, I got a second date. Woo, yeah. Anyway, so we go out. I take her to a high school basketball game because I had a lot of money. And then in the middle of this high school basketball game, something came over me, church. I'm just telling you. It was just like I knew in that moment. It was like I just know something, and I have to tell her. So I say, come here, I got to talk to you. And she's like, okay, we'll go now. So I'm like, she didn't speak much English. She did. But anyway, so she comes out, and I'm like, Katarina, listen, I'm looking in her eyes, looking deep in her eyes. I'm like, Kat, I've got to tell you something. This is the truth. I said, what is it? You know, real cute. Like, I'm going to love you the rest of my life. And I don't care how long you go back to Germany. I swear, as God is my witness, I will wait for you and marry you when you move over here because I love you and you're supposed to be my wife. She looked at me. Thank you very much. It's just like all she said, just nothing. I'm like, Nada, I love you too. Nada, that was poetic. Just like, thank you. Now can we go watch the cheap basketball game? You know, like that's it. Nothing. And so anyway, once again, she came around, and I got her to move back over here 2 years after she went back to Germany, and we ended up getting married. And I tell people this story, and they're like, it's so romantic. You know, like the girls, like a single tear, you know, they just get so excited about this story. But listen, here's the problem. My wife and I hadn't really encountered God. We hadn't surrounded ourselves with the church family. And so this romantic, awesome storybook kind of ending or whatever to our distance relationship, it ended up turning into a nightmare where she and I were always at each other's throat. We were 19 years old trying to learn how to be married, her trying to learn how to integrate into a different culture, and we were fighting all the time. Then addiction started happening in our life, and all of a sudden we found ourselves so far away from the dream we thought we had that we ended up looking in each other's eyes and saying, this is over. We started talking about divorce, and I remember looking at her. I said, I think you just need to buy a ticket back home because this isn't working. And she goes, when's the soonest flight out of here? That's how bad it had gotten. And so one day I was working at this music store I managed, and this guy came in. His name was Troy Costanza. He went to this church. He's now playing at another church in Mississippi, but he was here. Some of you guys remember Troy. Anyway, he walked in the store. He bought 6 guitars. I immediately liked him. I was like, yes. This man is awesome. Anyway, and right before he left, he slid a card across the table with New Life Church on it. Said, I want to invite you to New Life Church. I said, man, anybody who buys 6 guitars, I'll go to any church. You know, I'll go, wherever you're at, I'm there, buddy. You just keep buying guitars. Anyway, so I walk into my house. And as I walk in, you know how it is when stuff is going on in your home. It's just dark, and there's pain, and there's unforgiveness, and there's no hope. And I walk into that atmosphere. I barely tell my wife about it. I'm like, hey, some guy invited me to this place, New Life Church. Maybe we should go. And she goes, my friend invited me to the exact same church today. And I was like, well, let's go. So that weekend, we walk in. You guys know how it is. First time you walk in a New Life, people act like they know you and stuff. You know, you walk in, people are like, welcome. And you're just like, oh, I don't know what to do with my hands. You know, like, awkward. We know. You know what I'm talking about. Everybody, you come in and just like, then the worship gets started and it's like, they're like rocking out and I'm just like, oh, music is good. You know, so I'm trying, I love it, you know, because I'm a musician, so I'm getting into it. And then Pastor Rick gets up and all of a sudden I'm sitting there and I can't believe it because there's a pastor being real. He's preaching, and this is the topic. He's preaching about how men, we can be leaders in our home. I'm sitting there going, how did he know I was going to be here? You know, we've all been there. And he's telling us, and he's saying, you can be a leader in your home. I don't care how far away you are. I don't care what's going on. You can do it. You can do it. Your family can come back together. There's hope. And I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh. So he tells this story, and this is where it clicked. This is my best Rick impression, by the way. So he tells this story about how he got in a fight with Michelle. He said, now I looked at Michelle. I know. You're welcome, Rick. Anyway. I looked at Michelle. I said, Michelle, shut up. Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's pretty close. You guys have heard the story before. But he so he says that, and I'm telling you, and for those of you who've heard that story the first time, whenever you hear it, it's like there's this moment where you're like, thank God a pastor is being real about that he got in a fight with his wife. And that he had to overcome that. And the room just got silent because he's being so real about this. And my wife leans over to me and goes, I wish that was all you yelled at me when you are angry. Just boom. Like, I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, why? Anyway, so I'm trying to have this moment with God. My wife's just busting me. Anyway, Germans are just really honest. It's a part of their heritage. Anyway, but listen, right there in that service, I raised my hand and rededicated my life to God about 12 years ago. My wife did too. I said, God, I've got to encounter you. God, I can't do this on my own. God, I don't know where I'm going if it's not with you. And so here's what I want you guys to understand. You guys, we all have to understand that this assist thing, I'm sorry, this encounter thing, it happens all around us. But it takes an assist. Sometimes it takes somebody helping us get to where we need to go. And this is how I came to this conclusion. I was at a conference recently, and Troy Costanza walked up, and I saw him. I was so excited. I was like, Troy. And as he was walking up, I thought to myself, God gets all the credit for that story, but Troy got the assist. You know, Troy's the one that invited me. Troy gets the assist. And so if you're taking notes today, write down the assist. We're going to talk today about, man, encounters happen, but guys, they do not happen by chance. They don't happen on accident. They happen, I believe, because people on this earth look around and see that there's a need, and they take action. In fact, I can prove this to you guys really easily. God doesn't move on this earth except for through people. Even salvation moved through Jesus, a person, a man and God in one, but it was through a person. God has chosen, for whatever reason, we're going to talk about this later, to move through us. So I believe we need to be assisters. We need to be out there getting the assist, helping people have an encounter with Christ. And so what I want to do before we get into the how of it, I want to talk about why. Why do we do it? So let's read this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. Can you guys look up here for a second? Jesus, undeterred. This is Jesus in his most glorious moment. He's just gotten done conquering sin and death. He's fired up. He's got it going on. He's undeterred. He's looking at his guys. And I believe he's looking at all of us. And he's not holding anything back. He's saying, here's what we're going to do. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Instruct them in the practices of all that I have commanded you. And I love this part. And I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. So before we get into how we can get the assist, we need to be convinced of why. And here's why. Here's a few reasons why. We should be in the assist game because God asks us to. And some of you in here, you're just rule followers. And that's good right about this time. You just love to make sure you follow the rules. You love to make sure things are right and in order. And let me just tell you, this is going to do you a lot of good. I'm a little bit different. I like to look at rules and be like, how can I get around them? You know, like, and that's not good for me in this scenario, because this is a rule we should be following. Here's another reason why we should do it. Because God says and promises he'll be with us if we do. I need God with me. I don't know if I'm the only person that's willing to be real about this, but I need God like all the time. Seriously, I was driving to Fort Smith recently. A truck cut me off. All sorts of hand signals were going through my mind, church. You know what I mean? I needed God. I needed God to help me calm down. I get stressed out sometimes. I get upset sometimes. I have emotions that shouldn't be in my heart sometimes. I need God. People wrong me sometimes. People get angry with me for no reason, and then I'm tempted to get angry back. I need God. Sometimes we don't have enough money to do something we want to do, and all of a sudden my agenda overtakes what the family's agenda should be. I need God. Sometimes somebody wrongs me, and I need to forgive them. I need God. You guys see what I'm saying? I believe if we're in the assist game, God says, I'm going to be with you. And the final reason, I'm trying to convince you of the why. The final reason why is, church, this world needs you. This country needs you. The state needs you. The city of Little Rock needs you. And Maumelle needs you. And North Little Rock. And wherever you're from, it needs you. Your family needs you. Your wife needs you. Your kids need you. Your husband needs you to be in the assist game. To be thinking, man, God, you have authorized and commanded Jesus to commission me to go out and do something. So listen, that's why we need to do it. I don't want to end there. Just get all excited and then be like, all right, see you guys later. That's why. We're going to talk about the how. How do we do this? And to do that, we're going to look at one of my favorite assist stories, okay? It's found in Mark, but it's Mark 2, 1 through 5, if you want to turn there in your Bibles. But here's the deal. This story is so important. It shows up in three different places in the Gospels. It's in Matthew 9, it's in Luke 5, and it's also in Mark 2. That's where we're going to check it out. So here's what's going on. Jesus is returning to Capernaum several days later. The news spread quickly that he was back home, and soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors, there was no more room even outside the door. Can we pause there and look up real quick? So when Jesus comes to a place, back then or now, when Jesus shows up, life shows up. When Jesus shows up, hope shows up. When Jesus shows up, forgiveness shows up, grace shows up, adventure shows up, all these things show up, and people are drawn to it. That's important to remember for later, okay? While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they did what anybody would do and dug a hole through the roof above his head. I added that one part. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." Man, I think about this story a lot and how I would definitely not have done that. I would have seen the obstacles, I would have seen the issues, I would have made the excuses, and I would have said, man, I guess we'll just have to wait till later to get this guy to Jesus. I think these four men that helped their friend or helped that stranger, whoever he was, I think they give us an incredible window into the how-to of getting the assist. And so the how-to, step number one, we have to see the need. To get an assist, we have to see the need, right? Think about it. These four guys, they were walking around. We don't know what their occupation was. We don't know what they were doing. But when they were walking around, they saw somebody in pain. Like, oh my gosh, there's someone. They need help. But sometimes I'm going to use the word preoccupied. Sometimes we're so preoccupied with what's going on in our life, with what our agenda is, with what we're getting done, that we don't even see the need. It's like we're walking around with blinders on and there's needs everywhere and God's waving this flag going, it's this one's for you. This assist is for you. Come on. But we don't see the need because we're preoccupied. And listen, I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm talking to myself. Let me show you. I got an example I brought with me. This is called an iPhone. I can get very preoccupied with this. I don't know if anybody else does. Sometimes I get home from a day of doing the Lord's work. You know, I'm meeting with people and praying. How are you? You know, that's not what I do at all. But anyway, but I'm hanging out with people. And then I get home to the most important place for me to be in the assist game, my home, with my wife and my child. And the first thing I'm doing is I'm on my ESPN app. I'm checking social media. I'm kind of zoning out because I'm preoccupied. Oh, man, I don't want to be that way. I got to remember and remind myself, God, I'm on this earth to be in this assist game, to help people, to encourage people. I'm not telling you can't ever watch a movie or relax or zone out. No way. We have to do those times. In order to dream, in order to do this, we have to rest. But sometimes I feel like we jump from obligation to obligation. We jump from distraction to distraction, all the while missing the paralyzed person on the mat that God's hoping that we'll get the assist with. You guys follow me? Check this out. I'm going to say something. I want this to sting just a tad. Satan doesn't have to kill you to make you ineffective. He just has to be sure you're preoccupied with things that don't really matter. Satan doesn't have to kill you. Satan doesn't have to get you up in a hospital. Satan doesn't have to make you fall into a deep, dark hole of sin. He just has to be sure that you're so preoccupied with things that don't matter that you get out of your call, that you walk away from this thing that Jesus has charged us to do. And once he does that, he's like, my job here is done. And I'm saying, I'm believing that there's a church that's going to start seeing every need. That's what we're going to be known by. And here's what Jesus is saying. Again, let's get scriptural with it. Matthew 25, 44 through 45. And they also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick and in prison and we didn't help you? And he will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. That is like blunt. That is like Jesus might be German. That's how blunt that is. Just like in your face, honest. You know why I think he's that honest? Because he loves people that much. And he loves you that much. And he wants you to get this invigorating and this adventure that happens when we do what God's asking us to do. Number two, we got to see the need. Number two, we have to take the time to act. It's not enough just to see the need, right? Those four guys could have walked by him and walked in and been like, aw, you're paralyzed. Okay. You know what I mean? Just like walked off. That's even worse. You know, like that's even worse. Oh, I got a new life. See ya. You know, like, don't say the name of the church. I'm kidding. Anyway, but when we see a need, we got to take the time to act. What did those men do? What were their jobs? What were their professions? They had to give up some time, some effort, some energy, maybe some finance, maybe some reputation they had to put on the line to stop whatever it is they were doing and take the time to act. And so what I want to do is have some fun and share with you a pastor fail, okay? I was training for a marathon a long time ago, first pastor fail. Anything that you do that you have to train and run 17 miles for, I just don't recommend. Anyway, so it was my 17-mile training day, and I'm jogging right around here in Malmö. And I get to Lake Valencia, and I turn the corner, and I'm jogging, and I see this mom a little pretty far off, and she's walking, and she's got like a little infant stroller, and she's got a little toddler, maybe four, something in that age range, and they're walking. And I see them, and I'm jogging, and it's about mile nine that I'm on. And suddenly, the little toddler, as toddlers do, he gets distracted by something, perhaps a frog, I don't know. Anyway, I made that up. Anyway, he runs away, and he goes over, and the mom runs after him, you know, just goes after him. And I'm like, oh, so cute little family. You have to distract yourself after 10 miles. Anyway, and all of a sudden, this gust of wind blows, and that little stroller, it turns to the left, and there's a little decline heading towards the lake. And this stroller starts picking up steam, starts rolling towards the lake. It's going to fall in the lake, and there's infant in it. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter how long I've been running. I'm sprinting. I'm yelling, lady! You know, I'm just like I'm screaming, trying to get her attention. She doesn't hear me. I don't know if the wind's too loud or she's hard of hearing. I don't know what's going on, but I'm screaming. This stroller's going, and then all of a sudden, boom, it hits the edge, and it flies in, tumbles over into the water. I'm about to go David Hasselhoff. You know, I'm ready to, like be the hero. And this woman turns around, and she's holding her infant. You know, just, and I'm like, oh, great. You know, so I was ready to be the hero. But then this woman, she turns around, and I'm looking. There's a diaper bag in the water. There are library books that she had in there, and they're just floating. The wind is, like, blowing these library books. And she comes up, and she's like, well, what are we going to do? And I'm like, we? There's a baby in there I'm jumping in. I got to finish this. I got, like, 7 more miles, you know? I didn't say that. That was what I was thinking. And so she's looking at me. I'm looking at her, and all of a sudden, this woman just goes, take my baby, and just hands a perfect stranger her infant and just starts sloppily wading into this lake. And like, and I'm standing there. I'm just holding this child, and she starts throwing stuff back at me. She's like, take the diaper bag, and this is me. I'm like, okay, I don't want to get my shoes wet. I got to finish my run. Taking the vet. And then she's like handing me the book. There are people in the back going, oh, Chris is horrible. Anyway, but she's handing me all this stuff. I don't know how expensive library books are, but she was like swimming after these things. I mean, she really wants those library books. Anyway, so she gets them all back. She, as many as she can. There's other ones going across. She gets out, and she's like, my cell phone was in there. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And I hand her baby back to her and run off. Okay. About a mile later, it hit me. Dear God, I hope she doesn't go to New Life Church. Otherwise, it's over. She's leaving forever. You know. Anyway, pastor fail. It was bad. But listen, church, sometimes we got to wade into people's mess. It's not enough to sit or stand on the shore and say, okay, here, let me just get you a little help. We got to take our shoes off. We got to roll our pants up. We got to take those socks off. And we got to wade into the mess that people around us are in. Because God loves them too much to leave them there. We need to love them too much to leave them there. And it's what God's asking us to do. We got to take the time to get in there, sacrifice whatever it is, get in somebody's mess and say, I'm here for you. I'm not leaving you. I got your back. I'm praying for you. I'm behind you. I care about you enough to get in the mess and help you. Number three. We got to see the need. We got to take the time to act. And we've got to be creative and make a bold move. We've got to be creative and make a bold move. Man, I love this. When I think about scripture sometimes, and I don't know if you guys are with me on this, but do you guys sometimes just read the word, read a Bible verse, and we kind of just skim over it? We've heard it a few times maybe, and we don't really think about it. These four guys in this story are insane. You have to think about what happened in this story for a second. They're walking along, and they see some guy in need. Now, that's not crazy yet. That's normal. And they say, well, let's help you. It's cool. And they go, but then they get to the house, and this is where things get nuts. And it's just it's just busy. There's too many people in, and they don't just go, well, hey, bro, we'll come back later. They say, we're going to figure out a way to get you in. Now, guys, there wasn't a ladder leaning up next to the house that says, please climb and tear a hole through my roof. You know, that wasn't there. But these guys, this is how I see it in my mind. They walked up and they see this crowd, and then they go, we're getting in there. We're going to get in there. We got to figure this out. And one of them goes, hey, I know a guy down the road. He like builds houses. I bet he's got a ladder. And he's like, all right, you go get him. And the other guy's like, oh my gosh. And my friend's a fisherman. He lives over here. I bet he's got some rope. And the other guy was like, heck yeah, I'm just going to go steal a shovel. You know what I mean? Just, we're going to figure out a way to get to that roof. It doesn't matter what it takes. It doesn't matter what we have to do. We're going to get there, and we're going to get this guy to Jesus. And I think about myself. Again, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. I'm going to think about me sometimes when God's put somebody in my path that I'm supposed to help. And sometimes this is like what I'm like, well, God, I prayed. What else do you want me to do? And God's like, well, Chris, there's got to be a little bit more, right? I'm like, I prayed out loud even. You know, just I prayed with someone else about it. What else is there? You know, and God's going, Chris, come on. Be creative. And here's what I realized about myself. It's not that I'm lazy. It's not that I don't love the Lord. It's not that I don't love other people. It's that sometimes the assist game is intimidating. It's intimidating because what if they say no? What if they don't receive my encouragement? What if they don't take my invite? What if I'm not creative enough? I don't know how to invite them. I don't know how to do this. And guys, can I encourage you with something? We serve a God that is called Creator God. Creativity is in his name. He's got all the ideas ever to give you. Do not be intimidated by this. Be encouraged that Jesus is saying, come on, let's go out and do something together. And he's here to tell you right now, I've got the ideas. Come to me. So this is what I want you to start thinking about. Right now, I want you to start thinking about, is there a name? Is there a family? Is there a workplace that you know that God's asking me to get the assist? Well, what's your ladder to get to the roof? What's your shovel to dig through the roof? What's your pulley system to lower somebody to Jesus? What is it? God wants to give it to you. Listen, guys, sometimes walking up to somebody at the gym and going, hey, come to New Life, and then like walk away, that's not going to cut it, you know? Sometimes it will. Sometimes you know the kind of people, if you walk up and hand them a big screen flyer or whatever, that's a great thing. I want us all to do that. But sometimes that's not enough. You know what I'm talking about, those people out there. They're not going to come. And I'm challenging you, let's be more creative. Listen, let me give you one good idea. It's summertime. Let's grill. People love grilled meat. It's free. They'll come over to your house. They'll eat. There you go. They'll love it. There's an idea. Ladies, shopping day. I mean, it could be something like that. Guys in here are like, I just like to shoot things outside with a gun. You know, like there's people in here, that's what you do. Like sometimes I get in them scatters or whatever and shoot things or whatever. Some of y'all, you need to have a hunting trip. Invite somebody on it. Go camping. Go hiking. I'm telling you, this is so important what I'm about to say. Being the name of Jesus is way more important than saying the name of Jesus. So stop worrying about what you're going to say. Start being him. Remember what we talked about earlier? When Jesus shows up, hope shows up. When Jesus shows up, forgiveness shows up. When Jesus shows up, kindness and love and grace show up. You know what shows me? Be Jesus. Be love. Be kindness. Be forgiveness. Be hope. And watch how people come and show up and they're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. We got to be creative. We also have to be bold. Now, I'm not going to take a long time on this, but I really want to say this. Sometimes we're intimidated. And I talked about this, but man, we've got to get through that. Make the bold move even when we have fear inside of us. That's what courage is. It's feel the fear and do it anyway. I'm telling you right now, those four guys, they were bold. They cut a hole through a ceiling. When a cell phone goes off in service, I get distracted when I'm preaching. I'm like, excuse me. Turn the cell phone off. Jesus is teaching. There's people coming through the roof. And he's like, what's up? You guys need something? You know? They were bold, and he responded. If we're bold, he'll respond. Troy, I don't know what was going through his heart, the guy that invited me to church, but I bet when he bought those six guitars, something like this went down. Holy Spirit was saying, Troy, invite him. Tell him to come to New Life. I don't know, man. I don't know. This guy's got long hair. He's kind of a hippie. Who knows what about? Invite him. Okay. You know what I mean? That hesitance that we all get. But he made the bold move, and my life was forever changed by one man's bold move. Come on, man. Yeah. So, here's my encouragement for you, my bold move, brothers and sisters. Joshua 1:9, haven't I commanded you, God commanding you and me, strength and courage. Don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. Let's be willing to make a bold move. Last point, number 4. Always make Jesus the destination. So we have to see the need. We got to take the time to act. We got to make that bold and creative move. But guys, we have to make the destination Jesus. So here's what I want to share with you really quickly on this. This is not a rah-rah New Life message. I'm not saying, get them to New Life. New Life, that's not what I'm trying to do. Now, I will tell you, we have got your back around here. Do you guys remember Darren McFadden? Side note. Remember the Razorback guy that was just so good? I remember we didn't win a national championship with him, and that's when I really gave up all hope. I know that's not encouraging, but that's just how I feel. Anyway, but Darren McFadden was that kind of running back. It took multiple people to take him down. I mean, he was just running. People just bouncing off of him. He kept going. Sometimes issues in people's lives are like that. Sometimes they have a stronghold, something going on that it's like that. It's going to take a family at our church. It's going to take a group of people to help you help them. And that's what we're here to do. But really, the end goal is always Jesus. It's not this church. We're not putting our hope in the government, in the name of a pastor, in the name of a church. Our hope is in the name of Jesus. And what I love is that I have a lead pastor and a mentor, and Pastor Rick, that he believes that. And that's why I believe this church is growing, because we're trying to get to Jesus any way we can. That's got to be our goal. Here's how it's put in John 14:6. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you wake up every morning, start praying, God, help me see the need. Give me the courage to take the time, to be bold, to be creative. Let me get people to you. I'm going to close with this. There's a legend, really. It's a story, but it's a legend of when Jesus got back to heaven after he had conquered sin and death and went to that cross and paid the price for our salvation. And the legend has it that the first person he ran into was the angel Gabriel. And there's Gabriel right there. And he sees Jesus coming. Now, you remember, this is an awesome moment. So Gabriel's like, oh, Jesus, what's up? We just dominated. You know, he's just so excited. And Jesus is like, I know, man, what's up? You know, well, I doubt Jesus was like that, but it could have been. Anyway, but he's so excited. And Gabriel's like, okay, Jesus, you've done it. So now, how are we going to spread your name and your purpose and your love and your grace and your story throughout the world? How are we going to do it? And Jesus is about to answer. And Gabriel goes, no, I'm so excited. I want to guess. Lord, are we going to create an army of angels with swords of flame and take the world by storm? And Jesus is like, Gabriel, settle down. What about grace and forgiveness, bro? Come on. And Gabriel's like, oh, sorry, Lord, I get excited. I am an angel and I do have a fiery sword or whatever, you know? So he's like, okay. A government system. Is that how we're going to do it? A bureaucracy. They have to answer to your name. Jesus goes, no, that's not it. Gabriel's getting confused now. He's like, okay, we're not going to. Economics? I mean, are we going to somehow do it by eliminating hurt and poverty and illness? Is that it, Jesus? Like, he goes, no, that's not it, Gabriel. And Gabriel says, well, God, I guess you're going to have to tell me. And Jesus gets excited. Jesus, all of a sudden, he's like, okay, Gabriel, I'm so pumped. Gabriel, I can't wait. You're going to love it. I've got these 12 guys. Well, just 11, because one betrayed me and he killed himself. But I've got these 11 guys. And they're the plan. Gabriel looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, they're just men. How are they going to do it? He said, because I'm going to be with them. Every step they take, every place they go, every door they open, every prayer they pray, every word they speak, I'm going to go with them. and there the plan. And if Jesus were here right now, I promise you, with every ounce of my being, he would look right in your eyes and he would tell every one of you, you are the plan. I don't have a plan B. I don't have a plan C. I'm not even looking for one. You're my plan and you're my only plan. And I love you enough to say, I believe in you. Go out and live this. And church, we have the only religion on earth where not only do we believe in our God believes right back into us. It's crazy good. It's crazy amazing. And I'm encouraging you to get in the assist game.